Echoes by Gail Molloy. He had an understated masculinity to him. Tall and lanky, with a playful grin, he looked at me, the creases at the corners of his eyes promising the warmth of a budding friendship. He was 1 year older, working, and therefore a man of the world. His name was Michael. The year was 1969. Neil Armstrong had walked on the moon, the war still raged in Vietnam, and a festival at Woodstock had given young people the opportunity to escape into music for 3 full days. Everything big and exciting was happening somewhere else. I lived in the time warp of Western Australia. If there was a counterculture, I had not seen it. Where I lived, there were no big music festivals or colourful hippies, not even a protest. At 16, my life was humdrum and small. The one flicker of excitement that broke the monotony of school and home was Friday night attendance at youth group. Students from my all-girls high school would gather in the cellar of the local church, listen to music, and hope that someone's brother or a new teenage boy would attend. Life was simple. Although we were chaperoned, we still managed to slip away, hungry for the sweet taste of freedom. Michael walked over to where I was sitting, plonked himself down beside me, and whispered in my ear, "I'm Michael. Want to come outside and have a drive with my car?" "Can my friends come too?" I blurted out, delighted at the prospect of escaping the youth group and finally doing something interesting. He studied my face, a hint of laughter on his lips. Nodding, he passed me his car keys. They felt wonderfully heavy in my palm. Perhaps they were the entrance to something new and exciting. Jingling them to get my friend's attention, I put my finger to my lips and motioned towards the door. Once outside, my gaggle of friends resumed their noisy chatter as they followed us to his car. It was light blue, old and battered, and the car seat sprouted foam where the leather had split. Giggling nervously, they squeezed into the back seat, 5 bottoms squashed into the space of 3. "You do know how to drive?" he asked. "Of course," I lied. With the ignition on, I ground the gears into submission, placed them into first, and the car jerked forward. Our adventure had begun. My friends shrieked with laughter as I drove his car slowly down the road, crunching gears and careening up curbs. Michael was silent, patiently watching as I lurched down the road, the car now a cacophony of hysterical female voices. Finally, with my speed and the gear no longer compatible, the car came to a shuddering halt. "Whoops, I think I stalled it. Shall I start it up again?" Michael's laughter bubbled up, childlike and free. "Better give it a rest. I don't think the transmission can take another gear change. Let's swap seats and I'll take it from here." I gazed at his profile in the darkness of the car as he drove back to the youth group. Shaking his head, he was laughing quietly to himself, the noisy chat from the back seat drowning out any possibility of conversation. As my friend scrambled out the car and hurried back to the cellar, I turned to him. His eyes were twinkling with joy as he studied my face. "That was great!" "Yes, yes it was," he laughed. Climbing out of the car, I was careful not to slam the door. No one likes a door slammer. Bending down, I gave him a smile and a quick wave. He waved back, then slowly drove away. As I walked to the cellar, I realized that in my naivety, I had sabotaged the opportunity to get to know him. Perhaps next time he would stay and talk. I wondered if he liked me. The weekend was filled with mundane chores, homework and watching television. Monday's local paper held a small article on the front page. It reported the tragic death of a young man who had been working on his car. He had been under the car with the front wheels jacked up when the jacks failed and the car came crashing down on top of him. He was killed instantly. The photograph in the paper was of Michael. There he was, smiling back at me, the Michael that had laughed good-naturedly at my terrible driving. That Michael was no more. His laughter lines would never deepen with age, making him more attractive as his hair turned to grey. His gentle patience would never be shared with his children as he watched them grow to adulthood. His hopes and his dreams would never be fulfilled. He was gone. The sadness that washed over me, seeping deep into my being, slowly turned to regret as I looked down at his smiling face. He had been kind to me, and in the excitement of driving his car, I had not bothered to thank him. It would have taken but a moment. "Thank you, Michael. No one has ever trusted me with their car before. Thanks for being so patient with me." 3 sentences. That was all it would have taken to let him know that I appreciated him and his kindness towards me. The sadness had been bearable, but the regret was sharp, a rapier of pain. He had entered my life with the vibrancy and promise of new beginnings, and now, 3 days later, all that was left was the finality of death. I had taken it for granted that I would see him again. At 16, for the first time, I realized that any moment could be the last for someone. I must strive to never take anyone for granted ever again. The echoes of that day have accompanied me throughout my life. My world had been tiny and inward-looking, but with Michael's death it expanded to include others. It took courage to speak, for there is always the risk of rejection. But over the years I have discovered that simple words, spoken from the heart, can pierce the most stubborn of barriers. "You know you're important to me, don't you? Thank you for being a part of my life." I will always be grateful to Michael, both for his brief presence on that day and for the deep learning he gave me. Whenever I see a tall, lanky teenager with a gentle smile, he reminds me of him. The model of car that Michael drove is long gone, but for a while, whenever I saw a car like his, I would smile and remember the way he looked at me, his eyes twinkling with joy. It was one day in a lifetime, yet the echoes of that moment are with me always. I am old now, and my use-by date is fast approaching. I hope that when I leave this life, I will be able to seek him out and thank him for the moment that changed my life.